What's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to Growcast today. Jordan River here. I've got a wonderful episode for you with a repeat guest, Closet Ninja. This guy's awesome. He's got a bunch of stuff going on right now. He's launching a YouTube channel. He's got his own line of genetics coming out. He's working in cannabis groups. He's a great, great grower, and he's got some great advice today. We talk about grow advice. We talk about all sorts of pest management strategies and stuff like that, but we also talk about how to conduct ourselves in the cannabis industry. And the cannabis industry is going to be growing, if you've seen the news that's going on. So it's an important topic to talk about, you know, the community and how to interact in it and engage in it. So before we get started with Closet Ninja, let's give a little love to today's sponsor, Harvest Mutual Seed Bank, everybody. Go to harvestmutualseedbank.com. Promo code GROWCAST gets you free shipping. And members of mygrowpass.com, our membership program, get free shipping plus 10% off their seeds. And they're giving away 3 packs of seeds per quarter to our members. Very exciting. Harvest Mutual is GrowCast's choice seed bank for top quality genetics from the best breeders in the world. They provide rare novelty seed from the best players in the game, and their goal is to provide unrivaled customer experience and a tremendous amount of value through their online store, harvestmutualseedbank.com. Their founders have had over 30 years of a combined experience in the cannabis industry in all sorts of facets, and they're happy to help with any questions after purchase. So, you can go to harvestmutualseedbank.com, get free shipping with promo code GROWCAST, and join mygrowpass.com when you're ready to save 10% on your seeds from all these great breeders like Mephisto Genetics, which we'll talk about today, so many others that you've heard on this show. Check it out, everybody. Okay, I'm excited to get into the episode, so let's just do it. Thank you all so much for listening. Best of luck in your grows. Enjoy the show. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GROWCAST. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, please share GrowCast with a friend. Rate the show, review the show, share the show. We love it. Also, check out our other shows. Rob Smith has a growing cannabis growing podcast called The Homegrown Helpers. And my other show, which I'm very excited about, is the Coffee, Health, and Science podcast. It is worth a listen, guys. Great to listen to while you're working in your grow. Today's guest, is a return guest. Yes, I'm very excited to speak with the one and only Closet Ninja again. How you doing, Closet Ninja?
Good, Jordan. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing excellent, my friend. We tried to do this interview and there were technical difficulties, so we're back on the line and we're good to go, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, buddy. So first, let's get started. We're going to talk about the Cannabis Growers Resource Group. We're going to talk about grow advice. We're going to talk about how people should be conducting themselves in the cannabis industry. It's a really nice show, but before we get started, let's talk about your work, man. Now, at the time of this recording, your YouTube channel is about to launch, I believe. So tell me about what you're doing preparing for this YouTube channel.
All right. Yeah. So when this room is done and all processed and everything, I'm going to start filming everything I do from A to Z to get the results I do. I'm going to, you know, give away secrets and everything else that I got going on that I don't really talk about too much. So it'll be, like I said, from A to Z, from seed to harvest.
I think there's a, you know, it's something that a lot of people struggle with, is finding the right type of educational content for the grow. Because sometimes you're trying to understand something deeper, which is kind of what I try to do on GrowCast specifically, is dive into really specific areas. But some people want to see the process front to back, maybe not even in a setting that's like their own type of setting, but just to see the process. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I'm one of those people. I can read something a million times and not catch it, but as soon as I put my hands on it, I know what's going on. So I think in conjunction with our grow group and then having some kind of visual, it's really going to be beneficial.
Nice, man. Well, I'm definitely going to link to your YouTube and make sure we send our listeners there. And you're welcome on the show anytime. You're also working on genetics too, though. Talk to me about that for a second.
I have teamed up with a guy in Illinois. He is he owns Green Blood Genetics, and they're trying to get some stuff going over there. So me and my partner here in California, he's Midnight Gardens. We're doing some custom strains for TJ over there at Green Blood. And yeah, we're kind of just working together and trying to get that off the ground, you know?
Nice, man. That's great. Illinois going legal here on the 1st. So very exciting.
That's correct. Yep. We're trying to gear up for it, trying to get prepared so that we got, you know, our feet running once it goes legal.
I'm excited to see what happens. And then finally, let's talk about the Cannabis Growers Resource Group. It's a Facebook group. I'm in it. Rob's in it. I see it in my feed every single day, man. You've got a really, really powerful group going on. How is it going over there? How many members are you guys at?
I think we just topped 110,000. So, and we're growing leaps and bounds every day. So it's a pretty popular site. It's going great. We're trying to keep, you know, positive flow and good information on there. And hopefully we can help some people out.
Nice. Yeah. Cause you are a moderator up there. So you'll see Closet Ninja up there posting his grow picks, some really great grow picks you're about to take down, man. Congratulations on that run.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah. I'm excited.
Nice, man. Well, let's talk today. Let's talk about, you know, your job as a moderator must be interesting because you're in a Facebook group trying to, you know, like you said, keep the group moving, keep the group positive. And Facebook is generally, it can be a pretty toxic place, but cannabis growers are generally very friendly people. So I imagine that it's an interesting job. Why don't we start with the real-time community interactions? One of the things that I love about your group that you really just can't get on in a podcast format is how fast, you know, breaking news happens or someone just dropped a YouTube video that's reviewing a certain light and, you know, someone just now dropped it and then it gets posted to Facebook and boom, everyone's talking about it. Like, talk to me about the benefits, but then also maybe the drawbacks of real-time community interactions.
Yeah, man, it's a great platform. I mean, there's so much information that's put on there on a minute by minute basis. I would say, you know, just being able to go on there, ask a question and boom, get hit right away with an answer. That would be one of the definite positives of the site. And then having such a pool of knowledge from 110,000 members, you know, there's a ton of experienced growers in there that know what they're doing. And it's just nice to be able to go in there and get the answer right away. But then again, on, you know, double-edged sword, you know, trolls exist on the internet. Everybody knows that. So that's one of the major challenges of our job is trying to keep the bogus information off there, the trolls out of the group, and just try to keep the flow going and just keep that information going.
Yeah, for sure. And then I assume there's kind of some gray areas that might make that a little bit harder. you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, the legalities in some states, I mean, not every state's gone legal, obviously. So we have Facebook really keeps an eye on us. They're on us. So if there's something in there that's a little questionable as far as like sales or and talking money and stuff like that, that stuff can't go. So we have to block that stuff out just to keep ourselves running or right. else they'll shut us down.
You guys are doing an important thing, though, because when this many people are doing this, like, you know, in a Facebook setting, it's really normalizing the subject, it seems.
It is. It's very much helping the movement. It's keeping that the cannabis in an everyday setting where people are just seeing it nonstop, and that's how things become normal. Like you said, is just being just, you know, having exposure to it on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm, totally. When you look at, say, a beginner entering the group, this is something I'm always really fascinated with in any online community, but especially with cannabis. When you see like a newbie joining, how do most people respond towards then? How should we conduct ourselves towards newbies? And then if you want to vent or anything, I know it's a great forum and you have a ton of fun, but you know, tell us what frustrates you and what we can do better.
Well, in the infancy of the group, newbies were coming in and they would post a question, and some of the experienced guys, you know, that it seems like a dumb question because you know, why don't you go research it or why don't you go do this? Well, we really had to understand that there are people coming into the group that have no idea what they're doing. They want to get into it. They want to make it a hobby. And yeah, they're going to ask what seems like silly questions. But we have to take that into consideration. We have to understand that, you know, not everybody that posts in there is going to be a troll, like I said, and they're just looking for the answer. So it took a while for, I think, some of the members to kind of dial back their arrogance, if that makes sense.
Sure.
And really help those people out and give them the information that they're looking for.
That's a great answer. And I'm so glad you brought up that specific thing because this is something that has stunned me with how some, and it's, I've seen it in other groups, especially, I'm not trying to knock your groups, but I see it where it's like that people will ask a question and people will literally answer with, why don't you go Google it? Why is that such like a knee jerk response? Do you think I never really took compassion in the other side, which I just assume they were being dicks. But the other side might be, God damn it, I've answered this question 1,000 fucking times. And if you just do a simple Google search, there it is. But I guess it's a two-edged sword there. I don't know why people react that way, though. I'm always trying to give the simple answers for the simple questions. Or maybe there are trolls who are out there asking stupid questions. So that was interesting you said that.
Well, there are trolls, and it's just kind of the evolution of the online information base. I know when I started, the online didn't exist. So it was, you know, trial and error, or it was, you know, looking into Ed Rosenthal and those type of books to get the knowledge that you needed.
Right. Why would you Google it?
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of, and while Google's just like any other platform, you're going to get good and bad information, you know?
Yeah.
A group like ours has a large base of knowledge in there, and you're going to get mostly good information. So that's why people jump on there and they ask what seems like a dumb question, because they're going to get an answer, a good answer right away.
Right. And I've been receiving all sorts of beginner questions for a long time, so I never got that reaction of go Google it. But then it's funny, you know, it is really funny because everyone's like, who's the troll? Who's not the troll? Like, let me share a little story and a little riff that I've been kind of kicking around with you, Closet Ninja. And forgive me if I get a little too meta, but this is something I've been thinking about and talking with Dr. Joel Waite about. But it's the tendency for people to assume the worst in others on the internet. And what we were just saying is a perfect example, but I'm going to share a little story as well. You know, recently I actually gotten some hot water for reposting a meme on the Growcast Instagram. There was this, like, how police celebrate a cannabis bust meme. And it's like two cops are making out with each other. And it was just an innocent little thing. I was making a little joke about, you know, cops getting their rocks off when they, I just thought it was funny. And I reposted it. And, you know, like, people were laughing or whatever and got a few thumbs up or whatever. But then someone commented on it and was like, oh, basically called me a homophobe. Was like, oh, so you think homophobia is funny? And my initial thought was, I was like pissed or whatever and just thought they were a troll. Like, this guy has no idea. I mean, you know, Closet Ninja, you don't know me that well. But if you did, you would know that my grandpa is 100% homosexual and I have a great relationship with him. And I've got a bi cousin who I love dearly. And one of my oldest friends is gay and who I worked for. And for fuck's sake, I donated last year to charity through all my poker work. And one of the charities was an LGBTQ charity. Yeah. So, I mean, here I'm like, fuck this guy and getting all mad. But then I was like, you know, I was trying to be compassionate and think he's assuming the worst in me. He doesn't know anything about me. He doesn't know those things. He doesn't know me. Maybe he's just assuming the worst in me. And maybe not because he's weak or morally this or that or anything, but maybe because he's been inundated with real hatred, with real homophobia, and then scrolls over and sees this. And he doesn't know my backstory. He doesn't know my family members. And you're fucking nuts. But maybe he's not nuts. Maybe he's just assuming the worst because of the world he's been exposed to and the beliefs that he's developed. And I don't know. Maybe I am a little, I guess my sense of humor is a little crass. And maybe it was just a reaction to that, which is a whole nother discussion. But I thought it was interesting where someone can assume the worst there and jump to conclusions, you know, that are patently false. But it may not even really be his fault. So something I've observed, if I can bring it back around to the cannabis group, is, and I've been guilty of this as well, someone will ask a question that seems really simple or, you know, a little stupid, someone jumps on them, and then they get jumped on as a troll, right?
Yep.
Because people are assuming the worst in them. Oftentimes it's like a short, and that's the weird thing about the internet, man, is people aren't even writing in full sentences. They're trying to express an idea, but it's not even a full sentence so there's so much room for interpretation. I'm saying? So I don't know. What do you think about this idea of assuming the worst in people? Do you think it happens? Should we maybe steer away from it? I think it's a product of I don't think we really do that in person. Do you?
No, and I think it's, you know, when you're talking to somebody face to face, you get the inflections in their voice and you kind of get an idea that they're joking or they're not, or, you know.
Oh, that's also true. There's more information
they're trying. Yeah, exactly. And when you have a platform like that where it's all text, you don't know if that person's, you know, putting in a little humility in there or they're trying to be funny or what. So I think that plays into it as well. We just kind of got to keep that in mind when we read these posts or we respond to these posts that, you know, That's part of the internet. That's where we're at now, you know?
I think it's challenging, man. Like, you want to just assume the worst in someone else who's expressing a different thought or a different opinion or something. And it's like a real place to challenge yourself and try to grow. And understand the other side a little bit more, be a little more compassionate, don't assume the worst. But yeah, I thought that was a funny little story.
Well, as an example of that in the group, you know, there was there's a big movement on water curing, and when that first got introduced into the group, I mean, people were just bagging on these guys, you know. And I still don't totally understand it, or probably wouldn't do it, but I mean, it is it is a legitimate way to do things, and we have to take that into consideration and just not bag on these people and slam them for their ideas. That's how we're going to grow, man. We put all these heads together with different ideas, and that's how we're going to move forward as a movement.
Dude, I love that. And what a good example, too, because that's such a strange topic. I find that water curing so strange as well. And you know, I really want to have some sort of specialist on the show, but there don't really seem to be that many people out there. What have you, let's talk about it. Let's talk about this water curing. What's the benefit behind it? Do you like the results that they're posting? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, as far as the, I think it has to do with, a different way to get the chlorophyll out of the plant using the water to leach it out. But it does take the smell out. And, I think that's another thing as far as like people in public settings. It's not going to smell as much as it did before you water cured it. I personally haven't done it, so I can't give you a definite answer. I'm going to run a little test on it just because I'm interested now that I'm seeing information on it. So
weird. So counterintuitive, soaking your buds. It sounds like you're breaking so many rules, but if so many people are doing it, there's gotta be something there. And that's a great example because it's really just one of those options. It depends on your situation. You know, where I saw this kind of philosophy or battle of values and principles happen is organic versus synthetic. It's something I don't see in your group a lot, surprisingly, man.
Well, fortunately, the synthetic growers and the organic growers in our group get along. I mean, we have our differences, trust me, but we get along, and that's just two ways of doing it. There's no one way to do things. There's several different ways, and we've kind of come to an understanding. So I like that we're getting along with those guys a little more.
Yeah, I hope that I've tried to bridge that gap as much as I could with shows like mine. I'm not trying to like take credit for this or anyway, but what I'm trying to say is that's been a focus of mine is this exact conversation of open-mindedness and compassion when dealing with organosnobs, man, because they have a lot to be snobby about. Their methods make so much sense when it comes to, you know, sustainability and mm-hmm. your bottom line and the end product and all this stuff. But it's also like you got to understand what people are going to do. And if you want everyone to switch to organic, this is going to be a long journey. So conduct yourself well on that journey.
Exactly. And you got to be knowledgeable on both settings because, like you said, not everybody's going to just switch over to organic. So there's still going to be synthetic growers out there. They're going to be asking questions. And as a moderator, that's some stuff that I need to know about. So I kind of do both. I do organic and I do synthetic, so that I have a little bit of knowledge to give people on both sides of the fence.
That's awesome, man. That's really great. How do you see, you know, really the really talented guys conducting themselves in your group? Like, I know there's the one aquaponic guy. He seems super, super knowledgeable. But
oh, yeah.
How do they conduct themselves? How do winning growers act in the group?
For the most part, the people who have the experience, they have the knowledge. They are very humble and they are first to answer. It's kind of hard bringing them out sometimes because, in the past, people didn't really talk about what they did. So it's hard to bring some of that information out of them. But for the most part, man, I think, you know, we got a great group of people. We got a great knowledge base of experienced growers out there that'll give you the information that you need. And it's valid and it works. And yeah, so I think for the most part, they're conducting themselves in a very professional manner.
And we're going to get into growing here in a second, but let's keep it meta for just one more minute here. I love to ask growers this question. And, you know, it's funny, last time Closet Ninja, when you came on, you were kind of like bringing me questions and I was riffing just from the interviews I've done in the years that I spent in Humboldt County doing my thing, about to get my operation going here in Illinois again. Very excited. But you're not half bad yourself, man. Your grows look incredible. So we're going to kind of pick your brain on this episode. But first, with this more meta question, what do you find the most important or maybe common character trait among truly successful growers? You know, I say winning grower is kind of a joke, but what I mean by that is a successful grower who is really capable of growing incredible cannabis and getting, you know, problem-free heavy yield runs.
For the most part, I see those guys as just laid back, normal, everyday guys who are doing this for a hobby. They're not out there trying to make the big bucks or get in the corporations. I mean, this is something that we do at home and we do for ourselves. So we're picky about how we do it. We have our certain ways on how we do it. So, but you know, like I said, I'm really humble people. They're not arrogant.
I love that. I love that, man. I don't know if I've met an arrogant grower who is really, really good. I don't think I ever have. other than myself.
They can talk. They can talk a big game, you know. But no. I mean,
no, that's no. You're absolutely right. I even, to be honest, you know, I was never that great of a grower. I wasn't to these incredible heights or anything. But I was just making a little joke there. But I don't know if I've ever met someone who says, "I'm a fucking master grower. These guys don't know what they're doing," and then show me pictures where I'm like, "Holy shit, he is!"
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what I. You're exactly right. Exactly.
Yeah, I love that, man. Well, let's riff, man. Let's talk about your current run, and I'm going to ask you some general grow questions, and I don't think any of these are going to stump you. It's a little bit off of the list we had prepared, but let's do it, man. It looks like you get some really, really great yields. First of all, what do you got there pot size-wise? Are those 3 gallons?
In 7-gallon fabric pots.
Whoa, holy shit. Okay, so no wonder you're getting these huge colas. Now, do you ever find you have a problem with your buds getting too big?
That would never be a problem.
never molding or anything like that? Because it looks like, I mean, it's hard to tell, but it looks like they're pretty fucking fat, man. They look great.
Yeah, I don't mind big buds. The only downside I think to that is just trying to support the branches that are holding them. But as far as mold and stuff, I really have my room dialed in to where I have constant clean airflow, and I haven't had an issue with that so far. I did have some powdery mildew. I got some powdery mildew on some outside clones that I brought in and didn't, put them aside first. But other than that, I haven't had any problems like that.
Ooh, that quarantine period is key, man.
It is. And that's, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. I know the quarantine stuff. I brought these things in and just totally skipped it, put them in there, and boom, they contaminated my whole room. So that was a deep clean and a lesson learned. So even experienced growers make mistakes, man.
Yeah, that is totally one of those things. It's like those best practices, right?
Yep, exactly.
What else do you like to do? Well, why don't we stick on powdery mildew? How do you do any preventatives? Do you just try to keep the... How do you prevent powdery mildew? Just environmental control and things like that?
I do a sulfur burn. And I know that that's, you know, controversial with some people, but I don't do it in flower, obviously.
Uh-huh.
If I'm bringing in outside clones, I'll do the burn once the clones go in there. And then I'll do it maybe 2 weeks before I switch to 12 and 12. And I do not have any problems at all.
That's really cool, man. Yeah, I've always been wary of that method myself, but it's always fascinated me, as listeners know. So you find that there's some really great results as far as its anti-mildew properties.
Oh, yeah. The sulfur burn is a vapor, so it gets in every crack, crevice. And in my setting, and this is not the best practice, but I have carpet in the room, so that can attract mold. It can attract pets. If I do a sulfur burn, it saturates everything in that room and puts that coating on there, and just mold can't grow. So, I mean, it works great for me.
Interesting. Okay. I like that. I like that. Let's get back to these beautiful plants. What do you like to do as far as plant training, topping? Do you do any super cropping or anything fun like that?
I'll grow them and I'll top them once, maybe twice, but once for sure. And then I start tying the branches down to the side and building that flat canopy. I mean, light penetration on a canopy, that's how you're going to get those big, tall buds, you know? And then right before I go into flower, I'll strip down, you know, shave the legs, as people call it, and strip everything off underneath. And so that the light and the nutrients and everything is concentrated on those top colas to swell those things up as big as they can get.
Yeah, buddy. I like that. So you do the low stress training. That's nice. Is that what you would consider that tie down method?
Yeah, the tie down method is low stress. I have done, you know, high stress methods, and it just seems to stunt the plant a little too much for me. And
shocking,
it takes too
long
to recover. Yeah. So that first top is when they're babies, and then I'll just low stress training from there. And the way I do it, I can adjust the branches. So, you know, branch is going to grow faster than the other one. So I have an adjustable method to where I can pull that branch down more if it starts to get unruly.
Nice, man. Yeah, absolutely. I'm loving it. Good stuff. Now, you got some good color coming out on these. Do you do anything to accentuate color?
I have excellent temperature control in my room. And the last few weeks of grow, I will make it to where I have a 20-degree swing. So it's 80 in the day, and lights off, it'll be around 55 to 60. That, I mean, genetics plays a big part in it, but the if you can control your temperatures, you're gonna pop out some unbelievable colors.
Nice. Do you find that has any sort of overall quality effect as well? Would you recommend doing that if you're not after color?
The color is just for the aesthetics. I don't think it adds any more THC percentage or anything else in it. It's for, you know, pure looks. I know that if I get a strain that I know has purple in it, or I know is going to have color in it, I really want to pop it. So that's really the only reason that I do that.
Yeah, you know, and I think that there's some controversy on that, to be honest, because I think that stressors in flower, you know, having spoken to Dr. Coco, and, you know, he says there's even some research out there where things like starving in flower and these types of stressors can affect the things like potency and terpene production and stuff like this. But a lot of it is negligible. For instance, the lights out period at the end, we really don't know. There's a lot of anecdotal evidence, but a lot of people say that's negligible. What do you think about the lights out period before harvest? Do you engage in that, or do you just run your lights till they're done?
I've tried it. I've tried a couple different things. I've tried the stem splitting. I've tried the ice water in the bucket before you harvest. I've tried the lights out. I haven't really noticed any big difference. And so I try to keep my room as close to nature as possible. And it doesn't go black for 48 hours in nature before you cut your plants down. So why would you do that in your closet? You know, I do try to harvest in the morning time just because of where the nutrients are in the plant and how it pulls them in and out. But as far as the 3 days of dark or 2 days of dark, I didn't see any real big difference when I did it.
I love it, man. I love it. Now, personally, I am a fan of the lights out period. I always have been. But to have a value like mimicking what goes on in nature, that's the kind of thing that I like to hear. I like to hear grower values that are specific like that.
Yep, yep.
That's cool. I like that a lot. Now, are you thinking about going to like a super soil type thing, or does that not interest you?
You know, I ran some Sohum. I worked with one of the guys over at Sohum, and I did a test run with it. It compared very nicely to, you know, a whole Fox Farm newts that I ran. Right now, in the way that I'm growing and how I do it, Fox Farm just works better for me because it's, you know, it's got the nutrients in it. And then once those nutrients are done, I get to personally, you know, give the right amounts of what I want to feed them and when I want to feed them. That's the only reason I haven't continued to run the Sohum. I think super soils are great. If I had an outdoor spot, I would totally be using those. But just my method and how I do things, what I have going right now is working perfect for me. And sometimes you don't fix what's not broken.
Yeah, it certainly looks like you're getting some good results, man. So, Fox Farm, interesting. Do you use any, how about some product recommendations? Any supplements that are your favorite? Do you have like a mammoth or some sort of microbial product in there?
Well, I do. I use molasses in there. I also use Terpinator. Nice. I just switched to a new product from these guys out of Oregon. It's called Prescription Blend. The best nutrients that I've used so far, and I've used almost everything out there.
Oh, wow. Now, are you using that for like a baseline?
I do. So as soon as, you know, 4 to 5 weeks when the Fox Farm starts running out of nutrients and the leaves start to yellow out, I'll start adding the Prescription Blend, and that stuff is 100% awesome. I haven't used anything like it. They are doing a great job. I love that stuff.
Now, are they a dry nutrient or are they bottled?
It's a liquid nutrient, and they're actually doing a plastic packaging so that they cut down on all this excess plastic that we're putting into the market. So they're doing really good things in that. I like that, you know, that they're using the less plastics in their packaging. And the product that they have in there is just ridiculous. It's
interesting,
awesome.
Man. Okay, I like that. I like that. And then Terpinator, you know, when I talk to synthetic growers, when I was doing my synthetic grow, Terpinator seems to be a really popular product that a lot of people get really great quality results out of. Do you stand by that product every run?
I do. I love Terpinator. That stuff is awesome. And I think I've told you this before. It smells so good out of the bottle, you want to drink it. I mean, you can smell that it's good stuff, man. And the plants are loving it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, Terpinator for sure. And then Wolfman said something about a new bottle, a new color, red instead of green, maybe a different formula. I don't know. Keep your eyes peeled for that.
Yeah, I'll have to take a look for that one.
Yeah, man. Good stuff, though. I love this. This is exactly what I thought. I can basically throw anything at you and you'll have a good answer right back. But what have you been dealing with lately, man? Maybe talk about what you've been doing in your grow or what's popular on the Facebook forum, for instance, like a lot of maybe common questions that are asked. What's going on in your grow world?
Well, from first time we talked, I had a list of common questions we saw in the group, and that's actually kind of changed now and morphed into something else. I'm getting more training questions now than I was before. people are really wanting to know, you know, how to get those big fat buds and how can I increase my yield. And training is really something that is a hot topic right now in the group. So that's exciting. I love talking about training.
Nice. Yeah. And, you know, I'm like you, I never did the low stress training so much, but topping was really my main weapon. I feel like if you top your plant, and you have enough time to top your plant, you know, now everybody with auto flowers and stuff, or just a limited amount of time, that might not be as good of an idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But, I think the topping is crazy important, but then also the support, man, you small growers got to get on this Atlas plant trainer. Those bamboo stakes fucking suck. They're just not great. They work and they're cheap, but they don't do a great job.
Yeah. I've been seeing the plant trainers and watching some guys using those things, and they do look like that looks like an awesome product.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense for every grow. Like if you do have, you know, like tons and tons of plants or whatever, but if you can make it happen, the best way to support your plant is with plant training products, specifically like Atlas, where you can, it's not just the weird, you know, one shape connector where you can actually click the angle, change the angles, twist and pivot and stuff like that. That plant training is super important, but, you know, also the trellis systems, double trellis systems seem to be pretty popular. You ever mess with trellises or you don't like it?
I did. When I first built the room that I have now, I started out with a scrog system. And I loved it. I mean, I took two plants and I got incredible yields out of it just because I could, you know, like I said, with the canopy, I could train it to where I wanted it. And that was awesome for me. But that's when I was using the 600 watt lights. And now that I've kind of upped my game to the CMHs and I'm about to put a quantum board in there, which I'm really excited about.
Nice.
I found it better that I could fit more plants and just get bigger buds and more yield, by taking the trellis out and using the stakes. That's the only reason I switched.
Nice. Yeah, man. I like how you're switching stuff up now. You mentioned the lights. Are you just growing under CMH?
This room right here was just under CMHs.
Wow. That yield is good for CMH.
Yeah. Unbelievable. And that's why I went, I mean, the LEDs do a great job. It's great on your electric bill and keeping the heats down. But since I electric's not so much of an issue for me anymore. And then, you know, I've got my heat dialed in so I could raise the temps up a little more and I'm just getting fatter yields with the CMH. It's just incredible. I couldn't believe the difference.
Damn, man. That surprises me. Cause you know, usually the HPS gets that stacking, that looks like the buds that are in your pictures, you know, that fat stacking, but it looks like you got a good, nice yield. And I know some genetics also crave that HPS a little bit more than others.
Oh yeah. Once I went, I mean, with this one, like I said, I went with the Ethos genetics for those 10th planet and they are just, I haven't seen a plant put on that much weight, and in the genetics I've been running. So, I mean, they're doing, Colin's doing a great job. I'm very impressed with his stuff.
Love it. I love it. What do you do as far as flushing? You like to use an agent, you just use normal water and push it all out. How do you do that?
I get down to about 3 weeks before it's time, I'll use a floor clean from General Hydroponics. I'll use that every other day for about a week. And then the last 2 weeks is all pH water, man. I just try to flush everything out.
Ooh, that's a lot of flushing.
It is. It is.
I like that.
But I also juice them pretty good too before I start to flush. So, I mean, I want to make sure the taste is there and everything's there. So yeah, I flush for about 3 weeks.
Nice, dude. That's a long flush. I like that. I really, really like that actually. Yeah, man. Good stuff. I imagine there was probably a lot of harvest time questions up in the group. I would see people with their outdoor run. Looks like we're kind of coming to the end of harvest season shortly here, depending on where you are, right?
Oh yeah. Well, our stupid season, I mean, it's 80 degrees in the beginning of November here in California. So it's just dumb this year. I mean, you could have let your stuff run probably till Christmas right now, but, yeah, most of the people are starting to cut down. It's nice with this weather cause they could do a second harvest. So they chopped all the tops and letting the bottoms grow out. So that's really nice about the season, but yeah, pretty much everybody's cutting down and it's done.
Yeah, man. And I know that listeners, you're getting this episode a little bit after it was recorded. So, forgive the time, but I would see people with the harvest questions and, the flushing questions and such. So yeah, man.
Yeah. A lot of people want to know, you know, what's the perfect environment for their, to dry their stuff so that they don't get mold and, you know, where's the best place and does light affect it? And there's a lot of those questions this time of year. So we're definitely, pushing a lot of those answers out right now.
Yeah, man. And I feel like I try to jump in there and I try to post episodes like links to try to spice up the group with a little audio content. I found myself posting Dr. Coco drying episode a lot. I hope that's okay. I tried to add to the group. Shit moves so fast in that group. I figure you wouldn't mind a little bit of help because there's so many people posting.
We definitely appreciate your knowledge. Thank you for jumping in and thank you for responding. I mean, it's people like you guys that are helping the newbies come along, and I really appreciate it, man. Thank you, Jordan.
Yeah, man, but it's been a pleasure. All right, before we jump back in with Closet Ninja, let's give a little love to one of our most beloved partners, Dr. Zymes Pest Eliminator. Everybody, go to drzymes.com, drzymes.com. Promo code GROWCAST10 gets you 10% off all their products. And members of mygrowpass.com get 25% off of their pest control and their other products at drzymes.com. The amazing Dr. Zymes Eliminator is a revolutionary green solution that kills and eliminates soft-bodied insects, molds, and mildews on your indoor or outdoor gardens. Eliminator is a proprietary formula handcrafted to ensure quality control. And this is what you've heard of these enzyme pest control products, everybody. They don't leave a residue. They're completely natural. They're safe. They're OMRI listed. And they're completely residue free. So you can use it year round for a pest free, mildew free garden. It's a great preventative, everybody. And make sure that you follow their instructions at drzymes.com and get that temperature and pH right. It's crucial. And they'll tell you everything you need to know. Just go to drzymes.com, GrowCast10 for 10% off. And when you want to save 25% on, I'm just going to say, the cleanest, safest pesticide I've seen on the market, join our membership program at mygrowpass.com, everybody. Awesome. All right, let's get back to the show with Closet Ninja. Here we go. Yeah, what else we missed on here? This is a pretty good overview. Anything else going on in the group? Maybe another couple topics that come up a lot we could touch on here?
I mean, you know, there's always topics about pest control and stuff like that, but I mean, you have tons of information on your podcast about pest control.
What do you do for pest control?
I'm very anal when it comes to pest control.
Yeah?
That's one of the reasons I switched to seeds, is because I was just getting too many outsourced clones.
Wow, that is a reason to switch to seeds. Wow.
Yeah, so that's one. I mean, it added a little more to my veg time and the overall grow, but I don't have to worry about pests anymore or powder mold. That was
How did I not catch that? You're a California grower. You grow a lot of different strains, but you always grow from seed. So you swore off clones because of the contamination issue.
I swore off clones, yep, because of contamination. Until I have a setup to where I can run my own clones. I just can't even trust my brother with a freaking clone. So. I'd rather not go through, you know, the contamination and just the clean down from it. So yeah, all seeds for me, man.
So tell me about that. Are you having fun with that? Obviously you don't have the contamination, but I also understand that, you know, sometimes you get a little bit better of an expression. Sometimes you get a little bit more vigorous of a plant.
Oh yeah. Like I said, with these Ethos seeds that I just ran, that I cannot believe the stalk on those things are huge, and just the overall vigor of the plant, the way it grew, how fast it grew, the size of the buds, it's unbelievable. There's no comparison, no comparison.
Nice, man. Well, back to the pest management though. So you're trying to keep them out. Sounds like you have a good, you know, IPM strategy, if you will. If they're not in your room, you won't have to worry about really controlling them. What else do you do? Do you do preventatives? What do you use?
Yeah, Prevacin from General Hydroponics is a very good organic. It's just basically some pepper and some other oils that they put in there. That's really good to use, but it doesn't really kill anything. It just keeps things from getting on the plant.
Mm.
Let's see. I was using neem oil. We had this conversation before too, but I stopped using neem just because of the controversy.
Yeah, man. It seems like the grow world is kind of getting off neem, and with so many good other options out there, you know, it's hard to reach for anything that's questionable.
Yep. And I mean, that was the go-to for most growers.
Yes.
4 or 5 years ago was neem. I mean, that's what you went to for anything pretty much. Yeah. That was a cure-all. But
you were either using neem oil or some sort of neem oil extract or concentrate, right?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Dr. Zymes, I mean, I know you push that product a lot.
Hell yeah, dude. I mean, it's hard not to with the like residual, like residue-free, like all-natural side. I know it's not the most powerful product, but like there's not many things that we can stand behind 100% on this show, and it seems like that product is just up there.
Yeah, it's good. And I hadn't really used it until our last conversation when you recommended it. And I've seen it in action, and it's a good product, man. I understand why you're standing behind it.
That's cool, man. I like that. So you just switch off those sprays or maybe anything else you got lying around? Do you do like a, do you switch off 1-2-3 style combo?
Yeah. So I do a 3-part knockout because, you know, they can build up a tolerance to one certain product if you're using it over and over.
Totally.
So it's best to switch it up. So, I mean, those two products, Dr. Zymes, the Prevacent, and then honestly, just for like soft bodied stuff, just for some, water with soap, dish soap in it, unscented dish soap, that works great. And people don't realize that that's the cheapest way to go in there for aphids and stuff like that. It dries them right out, man. It's good stuff.
Nice. I like that. I like that a lot. Okay. Let's end on genetics here because you're growing a couple strains that you're real happy about. What strains have you tried in the past? Why do you love the strains that you're growing now? What would you recommend? Just talk to me about your favorite genetics, your favorite breeders, whatever.
Well, like I said, I'm so much impressed with Ethos right now with the, and I have some sour OG cheese I'm going to be running next. I can't
wait.
But his stuff is just unbelievable. And all the, my friends and stuff that have run it, their stuff is unbelievable. So that definitely Ethos is a very good breeder. Their plants are awesome. I've also run Gorilla Glue. I love Gorilla Glue. That is one of my top 5 all-time favorites. It will be in my breeding program when I start creating, you know, putting out some of my own strains. Gorilla Glue is awesome. And then, you know, old school stuff like New York City Diesel, you can't find it anymore, but that is an awesome strain. And Purple Urkel is another one of my top 5s.
Oh,
it's not a big, it's not a big producer, man, but it is top notch. That stuff is awesome. So, yeah, those I'm trying to stick with those, and I'm going into, like I said, whatever Ethos has, you can pretty much throw a dart at a dartboard and pick a good strain. So I'm really looking forward to trying more of his stuff.
That's legit, man. Now you're all photos, right?
All photos. I just went with my last seed purchase. I actually got a couple of Bruce Banner autos. I've never grown autos before, so I'm a little excited about that. I want to try to get a few more so I can just do a whole room of it and I don't have things harvesting before other things. But yeah, I'm looking forward to doing some of the autos.
Nice.
But I'm mostly photos right now.
Nice. So shout out to Ethos. And of course, that Gorilla Glue. Are we allowed to call it Gorilla Glue? Do we have to say GG on this program?
No, I think there was a lawsuit. It's GG4 now. You have to say GG4.
Ugh, yikes. I'm sorry, Gorilla Glue. No one's going to do that shit. We might put it on our packages, but no one's going to say GG4.
Nope, not going to happen.
Cat's out of the bag. I don't know why you wouldn't love that. Why wouldn't you love
it? Oh, yeah. Well, I think the actual Gorilla Glue company didn't like it, and that's why they
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't know why they don't have the foresight to be like, this is fucking free advertising. This is just our name being more cemented with a glue-like, you know, product, a product that has a glue-like smell.
Unfortunately, it's still like taboo for corporations, you know? I mean,
it's
even
bullshit.
Though it's going state legal, but it's still taboo. So they just don't want to be associated with cannabis in any way right now. And I understand that. It's okay.
Yeah. I like you, Closet Ninja. You're really compassionate. And like, and I see you, I see your personal posts on Facebook and shit. You're funny, man. I like talking to you.
I appreciate that. I mean, we could sit here and talk all day, man. I love talking about cannabis.
Man, let's do it again then. Let's get you back on and we'll, You were kind of like you were the Facebook moderator guy, so obviously there's like a lot of great content there, but we need to talk more about growing, you and I. So let's have you back on and go deeper and just fucking rap more, man. I like what you're doing.
For sure.
Where can we find you,
though?
What's the deal? You got a website up? Well, you're going to have the YouTube up, and listeners, I'll put in the intro, you know, when that's coming. Do you just do all your stuff through your Instagram? Where can we find you?
Well, Instagram is BillGrows420 if you want to go check that out. I'm mostly putting most of my time into the Facebook group until the YouTube channel comes up, which, of course, that's going to take a lot of my time. But the YouTube channel is Closet Ninja. You can find me there. And then in association with Green Blood Genetics, I've actually started Closet Ninja Botanicals, which is linked to my Facebook site. So you can go there and check me out too. But
nice.
Those are the places
you
can
get a web page, brother.
Moment.
Let's get you a web page up.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm ready. Things are going so fast right now. It's hard to keep up with everything, but I'm down.
Hell yeah, man. That's awesome. Really cool, man. Well, everyone check him out. Closet Ninja, BillGrows420 on Instagram. Go give him a follow. Go see what he's going on. Check out the Cannabis Growers Resource Group on Facebook. Killing it, man. Killing it. Thank you for taking the time to do this, my friend.
Thanks for having me on, Jordan. It's always a pleasure, man.
All right, everybody. We're signing off here. Closet Ninja and Jordan River saying happy growing out there. I hope you're killing it in your grows. I hope you're being compassionate to your fellow grower and fellow man or woman. This is Closet Ninja and Jordan River signing off. We're saying be safe and grow smarter. That's our show, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. What a wonderful episode. I can't wait to speak with Closet Ninja again and see what he does with his YouTube channel and all that. Very, very cool. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. Shout out to Start to Finish Consulting. If you guys need consulting help, Start to Finish, that's the number 2710 on Instagram. He'll help you out. Let's see, check out our merch at growcastpodcast.com. Click merch. Don't forget our membership program, mygrowpass.com. Save all these discounts on Harvest Mutual Seeds and Dr. Zymes, like you heard, plus so many other products. We've got like 12 partners, some of which are hydro stores, so there's a lot of savings to be had, people. mygrowpass.com. All right, so much love from you guys. I love it. I love what GrowCast is doing, the interaction. Everything's going so well. Thank you guys so much for listening. Best of luck in your gardens, everybody. Happy growing.